It's Song Talk Radio with Michael, Neil, Phil, and the gang.
Welcome to Song Talk Radio, the show with songwriters talking to other songwriters about the craft of songwriting. We share tips and tools and techniques and sometimes tourniquets, and together we all become better at writing songs. I'm a host, Mike Proudfoot, and with me are the other members, the co-hosts of the Song Talk Radio Action Team. My co-hosts this evening, Phil Emery. Hello, Phil.
Hello, I thought you were going somewhere different with the beginning there, but I'm glad you didn't go where I thought you were going.
I thought you were going to have little jaunty names for everyone, but it's just
Phil. Well, sometimes, but that's really Neil's thing. I don't want to be stealing his bit all the time. Mm-hmm. Also, co-host, you heard Vanessa Vreeland.
Oh, hello.
Hi. How are you doing? And welcome. Thanks. Sometimes you're not able to make it onto our show. Mm-hmm. I'm glad you can for this evening.
Yes.
And last but definitely not least, Neil Modi. Neil, how are you?
Much. So I'm pretty good. So if you're a host, does that make Phil B host, Vanessa C host, and I'm the D host?
As opposed to the host, you know.
I think we're all
I'm
a not,
hosts. I'm one of the hosts.
A host with a host.
Exactly. Yes. So I would say during the show, please feel free to send your comments or your questions or anything to Song Talk Radio at Song Talk Radio on Twitter, feedback Facebook, or Instagram, or feedback at songtalkradio.ca. And then we'll share them with the audience. And please visit us at songtalk.ca to find out how you can possibly be a guest on the show. Tonight, we are looking at protest songs. We are in a time of significant social unrest, with political opinions being voiced very loudly. Has this coincided with a rise in great protest songs? Folks, what do you think?
I think protest songs have been around as long as dissent has been around.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah, very much so.
There's always something going on politically, whether there's an uptick. I don't know if anyone's actually measuring that. Is someone measuring that?
Well, there is that ongoing protest song site. But I guess what I'm talking about is there was perhaps a heyday of protest songs. Definitely, I think of it in the 70s, you know, with Ohio and For What It's Worth. And maybe what was significant then was that they actually charted, that they were actually, you know, popular songs that were also political. And then there was a kind of a resurgence of that sort of thing with We Are the World and Do They Know It's Christmas and Free Nelson Mandela and Knock on a Play Sun City.
A protest song?
No, you're right. It's a benefit. Knock on a Play Sun City was a protest song. And I kind of took Free Nelson Mandela as a protest song because it was agitating for change.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it it wasn't a protest song either because it was kind of pallid and wasn't really asking you to do much other than give money. But that Sun City song, which I really ought to know the title of, that was definitely a protest song.
Sorry, I haven't noticed many current recent protest songs, but I have noticed a lot of people covering older, and I don't know if it's just people are in the middle of writing them and they haven't been produced yet or whatnot, but I haven't noticed anything new, just a lot of remakes of old classic ones. I don't know if it's that perfectly illustrated my point, so I'll just cover it. I'm not sure, but we'll see. Maybe they'll be in soon, a resurgence and, new protest songs coming out.
And we've had a few years, or in the U.S., they've had a few years of Donald Trump, which is, ripe for, it was ripe for comedians, for sure.
Yeah, right? You're so not going to protest not ripe for that. Protest songs? Yeah.
I think it's also interesting that, back in the, and it was really the 70s, I think we often think of the 60s, but we're really thinking about the 70s. And I think there was a more of a general culture of protest in terms of the youth culture. Mm-hmm. It was very much, the peace movement and so on. Whereas it seems to kind of not be the case. So, protest songs tend to not chart. I mean, for one thing, the charts are so fragmented now. But protest songs tend not to chart. But what I have noticed is that the language of protest songs now they're a lot more poetic and not quite as direct. not quite as direct as you know, the things in the 70s were, when you think like, hey children, what's that sound, you know, better look what's going down. They're a bit more kind of clear about the language. But now, like, I think that Kendrick Lamar song that we were talking about, I mean, it's like, that was almost like a poem, and I would love to know how he wrote
Kendrick Bill Lamar All Right, that song?
Yeah, like, it's, to me, it felt like he actually sort of wrote that as a poem and then put that to a rap, as opposed to, you know, having this, this killer beat and then doing a rap on top of it. So it's, I think it's an interesting change, how it seems to be a little bit less.
I mean, there definitely is a lot of protest in rap music. I mean, it, it even as a genre, it tends to be one that is a lot more plain spoken. I mean, Public Enemy was very direct about it, KRS-One, you know, so it's a genre that, you know, and it's also a popular genre. So it could just be that we're, you know, old white guys and we're just missing all the protest songs and, you know, and a young white girl. So, you know, but
you know, somewhere in the middle brown guy.
Exactly. Yeah, middle, not quite middle-aged yet, brown guy. So you'd think we were covering the whole spectrum.
Yeah, and certainly for, I mean, for myself, I'm not that knowledgeable about protest music in general. I mean, I go back and, you know, the one that pops out to me from, you know, Days Gone Past is Strange Fruit, Billie Holiday. Which is an incredibly powerful song. And I don't know how popular it was at the time. I imagine it was, given it was Billie Holiday. But, you know, like, I remember, like, I'm a child of the 80s. So I remember, you know, bands like U2 and, you know, Bloody Sunday and Midnight Oil, especially.
They were quite a political bunch of songs
like that and stuff like that. And then, yeah, when rap and hip hop really came to the forefront and many, many protest messages there, I kind of tuned out of that because I just wasn't that big a fan of rap or hip hop.
Yeah, definitely. So, NWA had what you would call protest songs for sure.
Understandably,
it didn't chart.
No.
But that had much more to do with, well, I guess, laws against profanity and also fairly racist programming policies.
Public Enemy certainly charted. I mean, they were, you know, I think a huge, huge band in a lot of ways that crossed lots of borders. But Chuck D, you know, he said that he wanted to actually make a group that was political, basically a rap version of The Clash was what he was going for. And actually, he really did achieve that, I think.
Yeah, it was. And he talked about being a black CNN.
Yeah.
The other thing nowadays, too, is that charts, I mean, you know, like, does radio charting matter as much as, like, Spotify plays? And it's so splintered now that there are multitude of charts for, there's a chart for every genre, there's a chart for every system, streaming service, whatever. So how do we know that something is
Spotify exactly popular? What I was looking at when I was kind of mulling over what to put forward as maybe the big protest song of recent years, I was looking at the social impact, you know, how far did it reach, and how, you know, did people talk about it? Did it get press? Did it attract attention more so than, okay, was it, you know, number one with a bullet or something like that? Because after the killing of Freddie Gray in Baltimore and the riots there, Prince released a really good song called Baltimore. And I don't tend to think of him as a terribly political artist. A lot of his political support was, it turns out, behind the scenes. But this is a great song. But at the time, he wasn't really, I don't think he was represented by a record label. And for whatever reason, it didn't get too much traction. It didn't get too much attention. And another artist I was looking at who is fairly political in the way, and actually sort of an heir to Prince, is Janelle Monáe. And she's very, I think, as an artist, is very good at articulating various points of view as a self-described pansexual woman of color in the industry and in America. But the attention that she got for her last album had more to do with sexual politics and her relationship with Tessa Thompson, who was in the video and was becoming a star because of the Thor movie and some other movies that she had been in. So I would say that, I mean, Kendrick Lamar, to my mind, is sort of the one that got the most, except for the other one that we'll feature in a bit, was the one that got the most amount of attention. You know, he won a Pulitzer, which is unusual because, well, rap has never, but I don't even think even a rock music mm-hmm. artist has won it. It's generally been classical and I forget what other genres. So, you know, and these sort of things have become anthems for protesters. So that I would say is probably he's probably one of the more significant protest artists right now.
Mm-hmm. And then I was, you know, looking around. You start Google and then you end up in a hole and you don't even know how you got there. But, you know, and then I was reminded of Rage Against the Machine. From the rock standpoint, they, like, majority of everything that they do, you know, like a whole bunch of songs from them. And it was like, okay, yeah. So it does span genres. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah, you can find protests, all protest music from all sorts of genres, all sorts of artists. And then I came across one by Fiona Apple, which, you know, that's a name I haven't heard in a long time, called mm-hmm. Tiny Hands. And it's very recent. And I think she wrote it about Trump. But anyway.
Yeah, she has a new record.
I was like, oh, okay. So, yeah.
I guess she would be like a conscious artist, you know, writing about issues that are, you know, on her minds, and there have been other artists that do that as well that are writing about. I would even say that in a way the Alanis Morissette record, Jagged Little Pill, just because of its, in a way, emancipation of women's voices. Like, she really spoke mm-hmm. about a point of view that hadn't been given too much popularity. Like, women had sort of been kept in a box, and she broke that open with that album because it was so popular.
I was actually looking around on websites, and I stumbled upon this website called OngoingHistoryOfProtestSongs.com, and this is a website where they've actually documented decade by decade and year by year, and they even had like a full web page for songs that were released in May 2020. Mm-hmm. That are deemed protest songs, and like you're saying, Phil, like, they do tend to be a little bit more poetic, and they're not quite as direct. There was one by an artist called Fantastic Negrito called How Long. It's sort of a blues rock thing, and very poignant. Very poignant song. I was certainly linked to that on our page, but it's an interesting website just to see all of these songs sort of filtered in this way and say, these are what we deem to be protest songs from decades past. And
after you mentioned that, I checked it out. Mm-hmm. But in the interest of time, I just wanted us to get to one song that I thought really made a big dent in the world. That was Childish Gambino's This Is America. Mm-hmm. Not only did the song itself have a lot of fans as being a good song, but the video itself has a lot of images that are almost like Easter eggs in terms of referring to issues that matter to Black Americans and people of color in America and mm-hmm. perhaps elsewhere. Why don't we take a listen to that and come back and talk about it more.
All right. Cool.
We just wanna party.
You're slipping now. Look what I'm whipping up. This is America. Don't catch you slipping now. Don't catch you slipping now.
I'm whipping them. This is America. Don't got you slipping up. Look how I'm living up. Police be tripping up. Yeah, this is America. Guns in my area. I got the strap.
Hey,
I gotta carry 'em. Yeah, yeah, I'ma go into this. Yeah, yeah, this is gorilla. Yeah, yeah, I'ma go get the bag. Yeah, yeah, or I'ma get the pad. Yeah, yeah, I'm so cold like, yeah.
Yeah,
I'm so dull like, yeah. We gon' blow like, yeah. You slipping up. Look what I'm whipping up. This is America.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't catch you slipping up. Don't catch you slipping up. Look what I'm whipping up. Look how I'm geeking up. I'm so fitted. I'm on Gucci. I'm so pretty.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm gonna get it. Watch me move. This is selling. That's a tool.
Yeah.
On my Kodak. Black. Know that.
Yeah.
100 bands.
Contraband.
I got the plug on with Hawker.
Whoa.
They gonna find you like Baka. Blah.
I just checked my follow and listen. You motherfuckers owe me.
Get your money, black man.
Black man.
Get your money, black man.
Black man.
Get your money,
black man.
Get your money, black man.
Get down.
Black man.
Get your money, black man.
Just a black man in this world. You just a buckle, hey. Just a black man in this world. An expensive foreign day. Just a big dog, yeah. My Kindle came in a backyard. My barbarian life was a dog. For a day life.
We all back?
I'm back.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting, you know, I've only ever experienced this piece while watching the video. Is the non-video version of it, does it have all the folio stuff in it, or?
The sound design, the Foley stuff? I don't know. I haven't listened to the album version of it. That would have been...
Yeah, it's an interesting question.
But it is an interesting experience listening to it with not watching the, like, even watching, listening to the audio of the video without watching the video, because this two are so intertwined and almost depend on each other that it's almost impossible to talk about one without talking about the other. It's possible to talk about the video without talking about the music, but the inverse seems to be a bit more of a challenge.
That's true.
Is it? I was just thinking about it again. It's not a call to action, though. It's more a statement of something. So is it even a protest song then?
Well, yeah, that's the other question. It isn't a call to action, and it's more of a social commentary situation thing. And it's an interesting point of view to sort of juxtapose, you know, popular culture type things and gospel singing and the kind of the happier stuff with the darker stuff, right? Like the contrast lines are there even in the music, and they're especially pronounced, of course, in the video.
Well, the way that the music combines African kind of choral and gospel and more modern, you know, urban hip hop sounds, I found that the kind of just as a song musically to be really interesting.
Now, does a protest song have to have a call to action? or is just talking about a situation, is that enough?
I think that's a question for our listeners. Please write us in and let us know what you think.
What do we think? I personally feel like it doesn't have to be a call to action. I wouldn't ask anybody to, I wouldn't want to be that prescriptive. If I was saying you have to write a protest song, if I was giving that to a class assignment, I wouldn't say it has to be X or Y or Z. Just as long as it does call to attention, doesn't necessarily have to.
And that's what I thought with this one is it stirred up so much debate and controversy that was the point. Well, I don't know if that was the point of it, but that's what occurred, and that's what sort of made it a useful song, you know, that it got people talking about something. That it should.
I think you can be angry at something and protest it and sing about it, but not necessarily make it a call to action, but it would still follow under that category, I think. Like, because you're angry about something, you're protesting it, you're bringing awareness to it. That's what I would think.
You look at protest marches. They don't offer solutions. They want their voices to be heard, and they want the voices of whoever they're protesting against, mostly government. They want them to hear them.
Yeah, I mean, there are times when it's very. We want this. We want this person charged, or we want this person freed.
Yeah,
sometimes. Or we want this matter investigated. But often it's just the group is. Marching to point out or how they feel about something, and it's usually not because they're happy.
Yep. Yeah, I really love Childish Gambino. Like, I'm a fan of him in all his media. Of course, he's an amazing actor and an amazing comedian as well, and just like a insanely talented person. But sometimes I found the work. Almost so abstract, whereas Kendrick Lamar was, I thought, a little bit more, kind of a bit more clear. I mean, it was really clear what he was talking about.
It's very focused, and his records have been like that. I think it's the first Good Kid, Mad City, is still about a kind of a character or a series of characters in a particular place. So,
Well, that's an interesting question, though. Like, is one requirement of a protest song, so to speak, or better protest songs, are they clear? Because if you're too wishy-washy poetic, and it may be a good song in itself, but if the message isn't clear, like, does it get across?
And is the point really to be about the protest, or should it be a song first? Because otherwise, it's really just propaganda. It needs to exist as a piece unto itself, and then, you know, it can talk about this or that. But if you're just going to write if you want to send a message, call Western Union, you know?
Yeah.
I have found that sometimes some of the, when people do very clear and very sort of in-your-face protest songs where they're being too blunt about it, I think it actually loses some of its power.
Yes.
Yeah.
As you know, even if you're right, nobody wants to be lectured to. You want to be persuaded, but not lectured to. And I think that's an interesting line to walk.
I think that's where the art comes in, you know, because there have been some protest songs. Kind of American Idiot was pretty on the nose. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. You hear the title and you go, okay. Kind of got the point. And then each song, I mean, it was developed into a much larger work, the whole album was, but it didn't seem particularly politically sophisticated, unlike some other artists that are trying to make a political point.
Yeah.
And that's all the time we have.
Are you serious?
Yeah, seriously.
It went quick.
It went very quickly, as all our great songs, all our good shows do. But hopefully this conversation, this we'll continue with our audience in our comments section. So please send us your impressions on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram at Song Talk Radio, or please send us an email at feedback@songtalk.ca, and check out YouTube for this show and all the others. And also on the site at songtalk.ca, you can find some of the other videos and things we've been talking about there, and subscribe to this podcast on Song Talk Radio Podcast, on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher.com, Spotify, Podcast Addict, and anywhere else you get your... Yeah, we're surprisingly available everywhere. And also, please join us at our next Song Talk Meetup. Bring your song in. Well, we do it online. So it's this, is it this Monday? Anyway, it's Monday, June 22nd from 7 Eastern p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, live online. It's free to join it. So stop by at songtalk.ca and you'll find the link for that meetup. And that is it for us. Phil, if people want even more Phil Emery, how do they do that?
The Phil Emery on Twitter.
Neil?
NeilMody.com.
Vanessa?
Sunny _Vanessa on Instagram, I think so.
And also on Instagram, me, Proudfoot420. That is it for this episode of Song Talk Radio. Thank you for tuning in and keep on writing. Good night.
Good night, everyone.
Bye.
Long.